Sandy Lawrence had a difficult childhood. A child of divorce, his father abandoned the family, forcing his mother to work long nights and sleep during the day, leaving Sandy and his brother to fend for themselves. By 8 years old, Sandy was getting himself up and out the door for school, then fed and ready for bed at the end of each day. There was very little parental guidance and many hours spent on his own. But in spite of the many hardships, Sandy looks back on these times fondly. He enjoyed the freedom to come and go as he pleased and the opportunity to endlessly explore his hometown. He insists that he never felt alone or lonely. Even at night, after the town was fast asleep, Sandy had the company of his most treasured friend, his radio, and the voices that inhabited his favorite stations, keeping him company. Welcome to another conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, licensed practitioner, educator, wife, mother, and lover of this medium. I love radio for many reasons. The wide variety of programming, easy access to a wealth of information, the convenience, the immediacy. And like Sandy Lawrence, I love radio because it connects us as individuals to a common listening community. There's something very powerful about tuning in and hearing these same familiar voices speaking to us day after day or night after night. I actually started my relationship with radio in high school working as a color commentator for a very small, independent, low-powered station that covered local high school athletics. I can't really remember how I first got the job, but I can remember the thrill of knowing that my voice was being heard, albeit by the very few who actually followed high school sports, but thrilling just the same. This early experience inspired my decision to study communications in college with the goal of being a sportscaster. But, like many other dreams, this one was sidelined by other quests until I literally fell into another on-air opportunity working weekends as a DJ on the overnight slot for a top 40 radio station. This was the perfect part-time job for a full-time wife and mother of a toddler. Over the next few years, I worked my way through all of the different on-air shifts, finally landing as a co-host of the morning show and program director for the station. And although for most DJs, the most common reason why they got into radio was their love of music, what I most enjoyed was interacting with the wide variety of people who felt connected to me through my show, and knowing that my voice, magically making its way out over the airwaves, somehow touched others' lives. It was really an early hint that my calling eventually would be in the helping professions, because as much as I enjoyed playing the music, I really looked forward to the random phone calls from listeners who related to something I'd said or a song I'd played. I also looked forward to doing the live remotes, broadcasting my program from different events around the county, and getting a chance to meet different listeners in person. And what a wide range of personalities, stay-at-home moms, business owners, retirees, college students, and of course, the few outright characters. There was a core group of listeners that would make their way to every function to check in, say hi, grab some free stuff, and after a while, if they didn't show up, I'd start to wonder if everything was okay. So saying goodbye to these listeners was really the hardest part of leaving my radio job. I felt like I was letting them down in some way, that I was breaking our unspoken contract, the promise that I would be there every day for 4 hours and they would be there listening. It was a great experience, being part of a vibrant and passionate radio community. For Sandy Lawrence, it was his connection to the DJs on his favorite radio stations that made his childhood a less lonely place. He knew them all, and they knew him, on a first-name basis. They were his company at night while his mom was at work and his brother slept. He would ride his bike to live appearances around town to visit the staff, to collect the free stuff, and to talk about radio. He called in to every contest. He called in to request songs. He called in to talk to the late-night DJs and just check in about their day. Sandy would record his appearances on the air, feeling like he was really a part of the program. And he dreamed that one day he would be able to host his own, which he did. After 5 years of listening, calling in, and studying how the different hosts worked, Sandy had the opportunity to work the overnight shift at his favorite station. He was a natural on air, and he worked his way up through all of the radio ranks, eventually co-hosting the morning show and acting as musical director for the station. Quite a success story, and quite a testament to the power of radio to influence and change lives. And I think that in our rush to embrace new technologies, new ways to hear music and capture content, we've in some ways lost sight of the fundamental importance of radio in our culture. Because you're listening to this on the radio, I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to sell the benefits of the broadcast medium. You obviously already get that. But I will say that simply put, radio is good company. It's nice to hear a familiar and reassuring voice throughout the day, or on a long car trip, or in the quiet of the night. We connect with radio in a deep and emotional way, and unfortunately, in our never-ending search for the newest, latest, and greatest forms of entertainment, we've undervalued and overlooked the mental health benefits that are also associated with radio listening. A few years ago, there was a pilot program launched by a community radio station in Brisbane, Australia, to help address the issues of social isolation and loneliness experienced by the elderly, especially those who were living alone. The idea was that radio could provide entertainment, information, and companionship to those who might otherwise be cut off from the community. The program, called Silver Memories, played music popular when their listeners were in their 20s and 30s, intermingled with news and community information. They broadcast the great musicals, big band, swing, and other popular music of the past. And they also added sing-along sessions, birthday calls, old radio serials, comedy spots, and special highlights of the day. After a 2-year test, the Australian Centre on Aging collected data from 136 elderly residents and found a marked improvement in mood and reported levels of happiness and satisfaction in those who tracked their listening over a period of time. There was a substantial drop in feelings of depression and sense of hopelessness, and respondents reported feeling less isolated and lonely. Even though the respondents were mostly limited in their access to and connections with the greater community, having the opportunity to connect with this radio station on a daily basis improved their mental health and overall well-being. This perceived connection to others ultimately helped to alleviate the devastating effects of chronic loneliness, a condition that afflicts millions every day and that is directly linked to a variety of physical and emotional ailments. Mother Teresa once said that loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty. Because we're social animals by nature, and brain research has shown how different pleasure centers are activated when we are in contact with others. When we perceive that we are connected to other beings, our health and sense of well-being improve. The same research found, conversely, that when deprived of human interaction, certain areas of the brain become depleted and begin to show signs of physical stress. Unlike solitude, a state that we often long for, which is an expression of the glory of being alone, loneliness is a condition marked by despair and is an expression of the pain of being alone. Feelings of loneliness are less about the physicality of being alone, but are more related to the perception that we are alone in the world. Loneliness is a state of mind associated with feeling disconnected. We can experience loneliness in a crowded room, or when we're surrounded by friends, or within a marriage. Loneliness can be felt as physical pain and a longing that rises up from the depth of our soul. Loneliness has been described as a debilitating physical condition characterized by a deep sense of emptiness, worthlessness, lack of control, and personal loss. Those suffering from loneliness are at a greater risk for heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, greater risk for memory loss, and Alzheimer's disease. Lonely people tend to consume more alcohol, get less exercise, have a poor diet, and experience sleep disruption. And unfortunately, loneliness is also on the rise. Even in this age of social networking, virtual communities, and endless electronic friendships, we're experiencing great spikes in depression, anxiety, and isolation, a result of our lack of truly meaningful connections. A large group of virtual connections cannot substitute for genuine human concern and interactions. Experts have found that it's not the quantity of our contacts, but the quality of our contacts that help to combat perceived loneliness. What I find most interesting about all of these studies regarding loneliness and mental health is that increased time spent with technology in virtual worlds or with online friends has actually contributed to increased levels of reported loneliness and depression. Studies have found that as little as 4 hours per week spent on the computer can increase feelings of depression. And yet, research has found that time spent listening to radio creates a greater sense of physical and emotional well-being, and feelings of being connected to others and the community. And I wonder if there really is some direct correlation to the decline in live radio programming and the rise in the most common of mental health issues, depression and anxiety, both of which are easily linked to loneliness and a sense of social isolation. In reality, there are many social factors related to the huge spike in these mood disorders, but I believe that losing our radio connections has contributed to this increase. Sandy Lawrence believes that his childhood would have been a dark, depressing, and lonely place if not for his radio friends. And I'm sure this is true for countless others who've also turned to radio to help them through their own times of need, like new mothers up late with crying babies, those grieving the loss of a spouse or other loved one, students dealing with peer pressure, workers on the late or early morning shift. Radio provides shelter from the storm. And as a clinician, one of the most common issues I treat are the feelings of depression related to loneliness and a lack of connection with others. And although these feelings are linked to a variety of issues and behaviors within the individual, part of my prescription for beginning to deal with the symptoms of loneliness and depression includes spending time with the radio. Not the television or computer, but local radio. I recommend having it on at home for companionship, along with volunteering for local programs, getting more exercise, and attempting to reach out to one person. But also having the comfort of the radio can help increase a client's sense of well-being and give them just enough of a boost to get them involved in other activities. And as a radio host, it's my hope that we can continue to value the power of live and local radio and do what we can to support this important part of our community. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I invite you to join me next month at the same time, the first Wednesday at 4:15. Until then, you can listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org and searching under the Program Archives tab. I always welcome your feedback to elizabeth@theparentway.com. Thank you for listening and supporting Public Radio KCBX.